Welcome to the Soft Verbal Podcast, presented by Dead Soxy, hosted by RebelGrove.com publisher Neil McCready, and featuring RebelGrove.com and Rivals.com recruiting analyst Russell Johnson.
Awesome!
The Soft Verbal Podcast is your number one podcast dedicated to Ole Miss football and basketball recruiting.
Caution, you are about to enter the no-spin zone.
Featuring guests from throughout the Rivals.com network, the Soft Verbal Podcast tells you what is happening and what's going to happen on the recruiting trail, and it does it in style. Just like Dead Soxy.
I'm better looking than you.
Visit DeadSoxy.com and enter Rebel Grove at checkout for 25% off your order of the best dress socks you'll ever wear. Now here's your host, Neil McCready.
Welcome into the Soft Verbal Podcast presented by Dead Soxy. I'm Neil McCready. I'll be your host today on the program, but you did not come to hear me. You came to hear Russell Johnson, and he is here. Appropriately, part of RebelGrove.com, part of Rivals.com. We will talk a lot of football recruiting. We will talk some basketball recruiting, and we'll get to that here momentarily. But first, let me tell you about Dead Soxy. A lot of you have placed orders, already starting to get some feedback on the message board. You love them. I told you you would. I would never lie to you. I know you think that I might, but I wouldn't. They're awesome. They're the best socks, the best dress socks you will ever put on your feet, you will ever pull over your calves, or you will ever slip on if you just wear slip-ons. They're the best. They don't tear. They don't get all stretched out. They stay up. They stay soft. You'll love them. They're made from bamboo. They're just fantastic. They stay soft. They stay up. After washes, still feels like the exact same sock. They're great. Go to their site, deadsoxy.com. That's deadsoxy.com. Check out the, it's a beautiful website. They have a lot of different options, a lot of different varieties. You can sort of express yourself through your sock. They've got everything you're looking for. We've got some stuff coming your way here really soon that we know you're going to be excited about. Hopefully by the end of this week. So be listening, be looking for that. We'll get it to you in time for you to get ready for the Egg Bowl, in time for you to get ready for Christmas. I know you don't want to go Black Friday shopping. You want to hang out at home and chill while everybody gets out and fights the lines and fights the stores. You can do that, and part of your Christmas giving can be deadsoxy.com. Your friends, your family will love them. They're a fantastic product, and like I said, we've got a line of the product coming that you're going to be really excited about, and that's coming to you hopefully very soon. So go at checkout. It's deadsoxy.com. Enter promo code RebelGrove. If you want to enter that as one word, awesome. If you want to enter that as two words, you can do that too. If you want to make it all uppercase, all lowercase, you want to mix up your cases, whatever makes you happy, you can enter it there. It's going to give you 25% off your offer. And then here's the best part. You don't have to take my word for it. You're skeptical, saying, man, I don't want to buy a pair of socks for $20. Okay. Do this. Try them. If you don't love them, call Dead Soxy and go, I didn't like them. They weren't as good as Neil said they would be. They'll send you your money back, and you can keep the sock. But here's what's going to happen. It's already happening on the message board. I can see it today. You're going to get the socks. You're going to put them on. You're going to say, oh, I get it. I understand these aren't regular dress socks. These are different. They're fantastic. They keep your feet cool. You'll love them. I'm big on socks. I'm picky on socks. And these are the best ones I've ever worn. DeadSoxy.com. Enter promo code RebelGrove at the top. Save 25% off your order. We're coming to you from the Clark Ford Studios. Clark Ford's in Amory, Mississippi. 662-257-1900. 662-257-1900. Call that number. Ask for my friend Corey Clark. Corey will probably yell at you only because I submitted the picks that he's got to fill in this week, and I might have added a few extra games in an attempt to close the gap on Neil's picks. That's just something that happens. But anyway, after you get through listening to him vent about that, tell him what new Ford you're looking for. He'll send you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours. Super simple, right to the bottom line. You're going to get a great quote. You get great service after the sale. You get delivery options, all that stuff. Here's the deal. Corey wants to be your truck guy. He wants to be your car guy. He'll prove it to you. So, again, Clark Ford, 662-257-1900. Tell him at the end of your deal that you heard about Clark Ford on the podcast. Obviously, mention the Soft Verbal podcast. You can mention the Oxford Exxon podcast. Whatever it may be, you'll save $500 off the bottom line from Clark Ford in Amory. Russell, how are you?
I'm doing good. It's raining outside. It's not storming, so I'm all right right now.
I saw where you were a little petrified the other day.
Yeah, thinking about it, I should have took my socks from Dead Soxy into the bathtub with me just in case something would have happened.
Yeah, you don't want to lose them.
No, I mean,
they're warm.
I wore them for the first time last Thursday to the live show, live Oxford Exxon podcast.
And I was right.
Yeah, I mean, they're awesome.
I told you. I wouldn't lie to you.
I'm going to have to get some of those no-shows for my loafers.
Yeah, you do. You can get those in packs. They're great. Go to the site, deadsoxy.com. Yeah.
I hear it. Rebel Grove coupon code and everything.
Yeah, I've seen you on the internet. You know how to get there. All right, so before we get into the stuff you wanted to talk about, in my mailbag, because you're not the only person that has a mailbag. I have a mailbag too. And in my mailbag, I got asked a couple of questions that I couldn't answer. And so I said, well, let me ask Russell. So before I forget, North Tampa Rebel wants to know, how do you correlate your reporting, meaning my reporting, that the decision about McGriff has not been made, it hasn't, with other reporting, meaning I think your reporting, that he hasn't been involved in recruiting?
See, I wouldn't say that he's not involved in recruiting. I would say that he's not invested in recruiting right now. Not as invested as he was when he was at Ole Miss in the past and when he was at other stops where recruiting was his primary thing. You know, when you're a position coach at the SEC, in the SEC, your goal and your job is to recruit your ass off. When you're a coordinator, it becomes partially on the back burner. And with that, McGriff has, you know, really placed an emphasis on trying to prove himself as a coordinator to either get a SEC level head coaching job or a NFL coordinating job, get back to the NFL. I mean, the coaching options that he's hoping for are limitless. And he has made an emphasis on scheme and play calling and figuring that stuff out a lot more than he has recruiting lately. And because of that, quite a few kids, I wouldn't say they don't know who he is, but he's not the primary recruiter for these kids in state like he is for the kids in the state of Florida and in parts of Georgia. And that upsets a lot of Ole Miss fans because what they expect, a defensive coordinator, I mean, the moment that Freeze hired Wesley McGriff, everybody thought he was going to be a lights-out recruiter, that he was going to help Ole Miss get consistent top 15 classes, and that things were going to slowly get back to what they used to be, especially after the sanctions ended. And once that didn't happen, and McGriff missed on Jaden McDonald, the linebacker from North Gwinnett last year, he's going to miss on Chris Bogle this year from Cardinal Gibbons, Florida. When he's missing on these kids, people all of a sudden think that, you know, he's a failure. I mean, he's working to improve the defense as well as he can. And because of that, he hasn't had as much time and effort to focus on recruiting.
All right, the other question before we get into your topics, because my mailbag takes precedent over everything. For Laurel wants to know his or her question. It is no surprise the board and fans are not happy with the defensive coordinator. What are the 4/5-star recruits' thoughts on McGriff? Seems like if they are not impressed and turned off with his scheme, then it's time for a change. But if they believe in him and like his scheme, then we can get them to campus and on the roster, and then that changes things. What are they saying? It's actually a pretty good question.
It is. And again, you know, going back to McGriff and his focus on building a scheme and a defense that will succeed in the SEC, he's going to have to recruit, and the position coaches under him are going to have to recruit as well. Kids seem to really like the scheme Ole Miss is running, but they don't like the execution. And the execution comes down to a talent factor. And again,
it's all about talent.
Yeah.
It really is. I mean, I know that it's not a perfect scheme, and they've done some things from a lineup standpoint, alignment and some of that. But honestly, they've gotten better about that as the year's gone on. They've played a little better schematically. They're in the right place more often. Now, they had some moments on Saturday that they weren't, but some of that I still think was talent related.
Yeah, it is. And having to play players who you need to be redshirting. If you're Ole Miss, you need to be redshirting freshman linebackers who you signed from Montgomery, Alabama, and you don't have the ability to do so.
In an ideal world, Jacquez Jones redshirts.
Yeah.
In an ideal world, Kedron Smith redshirts.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, he's played pretty well.
Yeah, he's played every game.
But in an ideal world, he would have redshirted.
Yes, 100%. And that was what I think pushed Ole Miss over the edge over Michigan, because Michigan came calling the night before the early signing period, and he wouldn't have played as early there as he has in Oxford. And I think that's something that makes him pretty happy about his decision.
Yeah, sure. I'm not saying that it's wrong that he's playing.
No.
At all. I'm just saying in an ideal world, he certainly isn't playing this much.
Right, right. But what I'm saying is that was the selling point, and that's also the selling point which led to Elijah Moore, which I saw your story on RebelGrove.com about yesterday, about him flipping from Georgia to Ole Miss on early signing day last year, and how much he's been able to factor into the offense. That is a major role in these kids' decisions, and I expect that to again be the factor in the class of 2019.
Okay. So now that we're through with taking care of me, we'll talk about you. Get to your topics that you want to bring up.
That's right.
There's a lot to get to. We'll start off with this. The FBI announced yesterday, or told yesterday, or said yesterday, that they're going to allow the NCAA to use findings in that came from the recent investigations. So the question is, here's the thing. People like me have been taking a lot of shots at the NCAA, and in fairness to the NCAA, and I don't like saying that, but in fairness to the NCAA, they have been told by the feds until yesterday, hey, be cool, wait till we're done. Wait till we're done. So now yesterday, the FBI said, so a whole lot of stuff came up in court about some of these schools, and I know you guys are itching to dig into it. Go ahead. So now the NCAA doesn't have that excuse anymore. And it was a valid excuse, but it's not now. What do you anticipate happens?
I think that they're going to look into, you know, some of the heavier things. The player at Kansas who's being held out right now, I really think they dig into that one.
D'Souza.
Yeah, because I think he's the only player that's currently being held out because of all this, correct?
Yeah, I think that's true.
So I think that would be, at least if I was NCAA, I'm not, thankfully, the first thing I would kind of try to figure out, because they're basically admitting they're guilty, and then at the same time, Bill Self is talking about how he's never done anything wrong.
Yeah, well, I think Kansas, in fairness, if the kid were great,
yeah,
he'd be on the court.
You don't think he's great?
No, I mean, he'd play for them.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if you watched any of their games.
Oh, I did, yeah.
They don't need him.
No.
They're all right.
Yeah.
And so they're not going to risk having to forfeit games.
That's true too, yeah. But and at the same time, you have to wonder if the NCAA has the, I don't know, for lack of a better word, the balls to actually, you know, investigate some of these blue bloods.
I don't think it's about the testicular fortitude. I think it's about do they have the desire to dig into some of these programs? Because if you look at the programs that got mentioned in that hearing, it's Kansas. It's NC State, Mississippi State, Alabama, Auburn. Who else was mentioned? LSU.
Yeah, I mean there was a ton.
My point is, of all the so far, I've named schools that every single one are supposed to make the NCAA tournament this year.
Right. Yeah.
So the NCAA makes a lot of money. A lot of money off of the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
They don't want to water that tournament down.
No, not at all.
They want Kansas in that tournament.
Oh, yeah.
Preferably as the one seed in Kansas City.
Right, exactly.
I mean, that's what they want.
Yeah.
They want those teams in the tournament. They want LSU and Alabama and Auburn and NC State and Syracuse and those kind of programs. They want them playing in the tournament for sure.
Oh, yeah.
And so I don't know. I don't know what they. I don't know what they do. I'm fascinated to see it. I don't know that they have the manpower to do it appropriately. But here's the thing: the stuff's on record. It's there, and it's probably the money can be found.
Yeah,
the feds found the money. So
right.
I don't know what the NCAA. And here's the other thing, and then I'll stop hijacking the show. What does the NCAA want to do to Adidas and Nike? They're partners with Adidas and Nike. What do they want to do to Adidas and Nike?
Yeah. I mean, I agree. You don't want to take them down, especially at a level where those are the two brands who basically make, like you mentioned, all those programs. Those are perennial Nike and Adidas programs.
I think what you're going to see, and I'm a cynic, I'm skeptical. I think what you're going to see is the NCAA essentially tell these schools, oh, for the love of God, get burner phones and be more careful. Please?
Yeah. You could. Please, I could see that.
Careful. And then they're going to move on, and we're going to have the tournament, and we're going to talk about student athletes and all that stuff, and they're going to make a gazillion dollars in March like they always do.
I also kind of think that this content was, I wouldn't say programmed for the exact date and time that it was released, but it was ironic and timely, to say the least. You know, coming out right in the middle of the, what is it called, the Champions Classic?
Yeah.
Yeah, for it to come out that night. I mean, there had to be some kind of timing or just overwhelming irony in the situation.
Yeah, could be. All right, speaking of basketball players, been a lot of talk about Chandler Lawson. I was hosting radio in Memphis the last 2 days. Chandler Lawson's name came up yesterday a little bit. Memphis product, back in Memphis playing for his dad. Visited Oregon. He visited Ole Miss. He visited Georgia Tech. And I think there was a thought that a decision was coming soon, and perhaps a decision is coming soon. There does seem to be some buzz right now that he's going to wait a while. Maybe he'll wait even into the spring and see if something happens at Kansas, see if something happens at Memphis before he pulls the trigger on a decision. You hearing the same?
Yeah, I finally got back in touch with some sources around Kansas late last night and into this morning. And with Kansas, it seems as if they have several big-name targets, kind of what Oregon had and what Memphis has, essentially, above Chandler on the board, who can make an instant impact. Kansas wants to wait and see what happens with those kids before they determine whether or not Lawson has a committable offer, regardless of what his last name is, and also the situation that if the Diedrich's going to the NBA. I mean, you agree with that, right, after this year?
Yes.
The other Lawson could potentially still be in Lawrence next year.
Yeah.
And having two Lawson brothers again next year, that could begin to wear on self, per sources, as the season goes on. I mean, Keelan is not the most quiet father in the world. That's a good way to put it. And with Lawson, it was expected.
He is an involved dad.
Yes. There are several involved dads in the Memphis area and in DeSoto County. But with that, you know, Lawson was expected to make a decision early, and him and Jeffries were both expected to play with Dude Collum, and that was part of the reason for taking Dude as early as Ole Miss did. And with Ole Miss not getting Chandler, hypothetically, or DJ, Dude and Sammy Hunter become the big names in this class to go with, you know, Bryce Williams. The early signing period is just a week away today. And if Lawson chooses to wait, I'm not sure Ole Miss is going to wait with him. I'm not sure if his offer would still be committable come November 22nd if he weren't to commit before then.
Here's my thought on that. I'll be quick. I think Ole Miss likes Chandler Lawson a lot. I think they'd love to sign him. I don't think they're going to put anything on hold because of him, and not because of him. He doesn't play point guard.
Right.
They need a point guard. They need to add a point guard. Badly. And if the right point guard came along, I think they'd add him. I think if they get into the spring, you're going to see them go the grad transfer market and add a point guard. I don't know who that is. I have no clue. If I did, I would tell you. I don't. So here's the other thing with Lawson. Lawson's a really good player, has a high ceiling, but I don't know how ready-made to step in and contribute he is. So that makes him – it's the same reason Kansas hasn't jumped on him. Look, Kansas would deal with Keelan Lawson. If Chandler Lawson was ready to step in and ball, Kansas would say, hey, we'll deal with it. We've dealt with worse. Bring it.
Agreed, yeah.
He's not ready to do that. I'm not saying he won't be, but he's not right now.
No.
So it changes the game a little bit. That's why the kid's taking a gamble. But I don't fault him. If you really want to play with your brothers, wait till that option's closed. And right now that door's not completely closed. And if you really want to play in Memphis, wait until the door is completely closed. And I don't think that door is completely closed yet.
No. Memphis has what is it, Precious still on the board? They've got Wadford still on the board. They've obviously got Wiseman still on the board.
They're getting Wiseman.
Yeah. I mean, that. Yeah, that's done.
They're getting Wiseman.
Yeah, it's just a matter of when, not if. Is he signing early? I know you were doing Memphis Radio, so I'm not sure.
I think most people think that he will, yes. Most people will be surprised if he doesn't. He's going to Memphis.
Right. I mean, yeah, I agree. The hysteria around the program and the excitement that is going on. I mean, it was almost never going to be anybody but Memphis for Wiseman the moment Penny took the job.
Agreed. Yeah, he's going to Memphis.
Yeah, and if Lawson can get past if the Lawson family can get past the past transgressions that took place at Memphis and with the program and the administration, then yeah, I mean, Chandler could also end up a Memphis target down the road where they'd have missed on Precious and Trendon. And I mean, they're going to get Wiseman, like you said. So between those two, if they miss on one or both, that's when Chandler's situation becomes interesting and he might get that meeting with Penny that DJ got.
This from Jeff Calkins. You'll find this interesting as we move on. Memphis has played two exhibitions and one game. The Tiger Bookstore has now sold more merchandise than it did in all of last season.
I mean, that's
Penny Hardaway's paying for himself right now.
Yeah, I mean, that probably pays for Tubby's old salary right there.
Oh yeah,
or at least close to it.
Well, they made the right decision.
I mean, yeah.
All right, staying on basketball for a minute. The early signing period is beginning in about a week. I guess it's in 1 week from today.
Yeah, exactly 1 week, the 14th, Emery's birthday.
Happy birthday to Emery early, in case I don't talk to you before then. Hope you get all that you asked for. You should. If you don't, go on strike. So a week away, so they're going to sign Dude Column.
Yeah, all of their commits are signing.
Yeah, going to sign Howard.
Mm-hmm.
Going to sign Sammy Hunter, who's a stud. Sammy Hunter's so good.
He is.
And they're going to sign Williams, the shooter.
Yeah, from Daytona State.
Who can really, really shoot it. So they're going to sign four at least in the early period. They would sign Lawson if he wanted to sign. If Lawson committed today, they would sign him. That's my understanding.
Yeah, I agree 100%.
Once we get past next Wednesday, things might get weird. I don't know. We'll see.
Things will get really weird if that happens.
I think those five are the only options for the early period. Do you agree?
Yes.
Okay. So what's the plan for the late period?
The plan for the late period comes down to whether or not they're going to take Kadeem Sy, or I think it's Dudu Gye or Guy.
This is a family podcast.
they're both teammates of Bryce at Daytona State, and head coach Kermit Davis was out there recently, and when he saw them, I mean, Kadeem Sy had an offer, and Dudu got an offer pretty quickly as well. With that being said, Dudu's got some SEC eligibility
questions.
Does he
not have a last name?
I don't know how to pronounce it, so I'm not even going to try. G-U-E-Y-E.
G-U-E-Y-E. E-Y-E. Dudu.
Yeah, so we'll go with Dudu. Dudu and Kadeem. And Kadeem has an interesting story. Before he was given four stars, there was a brief discussion about possibly making him a five-star JUCO player, which hardly ever happens. He was impressive as a freshman at Virginia Tech. He's now left that program twice. And so far this season, between Bryce, and Dudu, Daytona State is going to be really hard to beat. And then after that, obviously, you talked about it briefly. The point guard situation is dire at Ole Miss, and they're going to pursue any type of grad transfer or possibly, if they have to, a JUCO point guard.
Yeah, I think they would prefer to go grad transfer.
Yeah, you want a kid for like 1 year while you let Franco develop and you figure out what else you have on the roster.
That JUCO point guard thing can be a mess.
Yeah, that's true too.
When you get the grad transfer, you typically are getting a kid who's played at that level, gets it, the transition's not as bad, etc.
Right. Yeah, he's got experience at the level. He understands the concepts because, I mean, to be honest,
bring that kid in, you're bringing him in to start.
Yeah.
And if you bring one of those kids in and he's not ready to start, well, then you just threw a scholarship away.
Yeah, and I think
you'd have been better off signing a high school kid and seeing what happened with him over the course of a year or two. Because here's the deal with college basketball. It's this way in college football, too, but nobody ever talks about it. In college basketball, you bring guys in and you assign them to a scholarship, but it's a year at a time. Kids get processed, transferred. That's just so common in college basketball today. So you bring a kid in, you give him a year or two, and if he doesn't develop the way you thought he would, you let him go to, you know, East Tennessee or somewhere, and it's cool. No big deal. No hard feelings. South Alabama, go play there. It's cool. And then you try again. And then what you get with some of the transfers is you get the kid that maybe went to a – and I'm throwing schools out. I swear I am. Missouri State. Went to a Missouri State, and he graduated, and he excelled, and he wants to play at a higher level that last year. And so you get that kid to come in and run your team. That's how this stuff works. So we'll see.
Yeah, and that's exactly what next year's team is going to need. They're going to need a signal caller, a point guard, a quarterback for, and if you want to talk about football.
Yeah, with some veteran experience, because they're going to lose Terrence Davis.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to lose Bruce Stevens. Who am I forgetting? Tyree will be older. Shuler will be older. They're going to need to add another guy because they're going to have a bunch of kids.
Yeah, they're going to have at least four.
I'm super high on KJ Buffin and Blake Henson after watching them play. And I know it was an exhibition against Sisters of the Poor. I get it. I'm not stupid. I'm not that guy that goes, hey, man, they lit it up. Look out, Kentucky. But I know what I saw. The JUCO kid,
Hallams,
he's raw. Naylor, raw. I don't know. Who knows? Hadn't seen Franco yet because he's been hurt.
Right.
Rodriguez played a little, but you could tell there was a lot of rust still coming off the injury. I don't think you can make any kind of a judgment one way or the other on him. Not judgment, evaluation. He was just getting going. He was the guy in the first couple of weeks of marathon training. Just getting started.
Right.
It's too early to know whether this is going to work or not. Buffin and Henson, players.
They both start?
Oh, yeah. They're players. KJ Buffin's a player. Go right now. Player.
Yeah.
We'll come back and we'll rejoin the Russell questions in a moment. First, let me tell you, Linson Little PA is Central and South Mississippi's law firm you want to hire for business, advice, and commercial litigation. Whether you're having trouble paying your debts or someone isn't paying you what they agreed to pay, Linson Little can quickly advise you of your best course of action. Linson Little has more than 60 years of collective experience representing companies and individuals in defaulted loan workouts, collections, repossessions, and foreclosures. Representing banks as well as companies having financial difficulties, Linson Little offers creative solutions to financial problems. Attorneys at Linson Little have the versatility you need, regardless of whether you need help with general business advice, issues with payment of taxes or representation in state court, federal court, or bankruptcy court. If you're in need of advice or assistance with your financial situation, call Jarrett Little at 228-867-6050. Visit their website at lentzlittle.com. That's lentzlittle.com. Or email Jarrett at lentzlittle.com. That's Jarrett, Jarrett, at lentzlittle.com. All right, so switched into some football. I know you've talked about Jerry and Ely. What's the latest on him, and what does the board look like at running back other than Ely?
So with Ely, I mean, you guys talked about him a little bit on the Oxford Exxon podcast yesterday, so I won't go too in-depth.
Okay.
He's still obviously got the MLB draft decision coming up, and many people thought he was going to sign in December, and Ole Miss was really happy about that and excited about that, you know, kind of getting it over with so they didn't have to worry about it. But now he's pushing it back to February. He's going to take official visits to several schools, most notably both Clemson and Alabama, and likely Mississippi State as well. And he took his third unofficial visit in the past year, this over the weekend, to Clemson and got to meet Dabo Swinney for the first time. He was raving about his conversation with Dabo and his visit at Clemson. And several Clemson people think that if Clemson decides to potentially waste an initial scholarship on Ely, that what's going to happen is he's going to flip to Clemson and sign there regardless of whether or not he ends up showing. But people around Ely and outside of the Clemson program believe that it's going to be really hard for a perennial playoff contender like Clemson to waste one of those 25 initials you get each class on somebody who may or may not show up at like a 0.01% chance. Outside of Ely, and kind of a good thing, about him waiting until February is the Eric Gray situation. Eric Gray, the Lausanne running back, committed to Michigan, likely between Tennessee and Ole Miss. Still not sure on the pecking order. It changes almost every time I talk to people around Eric and people around the Lausanne program. But him signing in December and taking his officials before the December signing period means that he could sign at Ole Miss and be the only running back signee. And despite him and Jerrion being friends, I mean, Eric wants to be the guy. Eric's been the guy at Lausanne, and he wants to be the guy wherever he chooses to play. And that plays a real factor. And going beyond that, that's when you get into the Breece Halls of the world, the two-star Kansas running back committed to Iowa State, who's also signing in December. He's going to take an official visit either late November, early December to Ole Miss. And then you've also got the constant debate in Mississippi between Snoop Connor, the Hattiesburg running back, and Rodriguez Clark, the Starkville running back, both committed to Memphis, and whether or not Ole Miss makes an offer to Rodriguez, or if they, despite his Memphis commitment and long, long wait, make Connor's offer committable, which I couldn't see happening, and I'm not sure they want it to happen.
Your thoughts on Michael? Is it Michael or Mikkel?
Mikkel.
Mikkel, the IMG linebacker. What are your thoughts on him?
He was good. He was all over the field last weekend against Hoover. IMG dominated that game. And for him to line up, he lined up in man-to-man coverage at corner, as well as playing linebacker and a little bit of just pass rushing on, like, you know, third and long downs. And he looked good. I mean, he looked explosive, and he looked different than what you saw on film when you watched him. Like, when the coaches watch him, they see somebody who has a chance to play the star position. But he showed last week that he could be not a Mike, but he had a chance to play as on the outside role.
What's the latest on Cam White?
Cam White, the 2018 signee, was expected to be a 2020 commit from Madison Central. Didn't get the ACT score he needed in high school. Let's just get that out of the way. He ended up in Northwest, double signed, played really well this year in his role. Northwest lost last week, so their season's over. And with that, White has been able to academically be able to do the whole Tarekius Tisdale thing, where he's going to be able to leave in May. And instead of being a 2020 kid, he's going to be able to push back and be a 2019 kid. And he's going to have a chance to make an impact if he is able to get there in time. I mean, Tisdale, he had the problem where he got there a little late. But if White's able to...
Tisdale's been impactful.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes I can't even imagine what this defense would have looked like had it not had Tisdale.
Yeah, exactly. And I think we're going to be saying that same thing about White and his impact on the Ole Miss defense next year, especially in the secondary where, I mean, they're switching positions almost every week. And it's bad for the development of those kids.
Yeah, it's bad for the immediate development. I think maybe long term it might end up helping some of them, but right now, yeah, they're swimming.
Yeah,
and it's one of the reasons why I'm not getting on this topic. I promise I'm not, because I'm exhausted from it, and we still have to talk about it for two more weeks. It's one of the reasons why you have to be careful in the way you judge Wesley McGriff. I'm not saying that he's done a great job. I'm not saying he's done a terrible job. Frankly, my opinion doesn't matter. But I do think if you're the people who have to make that decision, who get paid to make that decision, I do think you have to take into account what all he's had to deal with. And one of the things he's had to deal with is because of injuries and because of a lack of depth in the first place, combined with injuries, what they have going on in the secondary, man, is challenging.
Yeah.
I mean, Nick Saban would not be happy coaching this defensive backfield.
No, I mean, you could not hire any defensive coordinator in the country and give them this – amount of talent and these players, and the results wouldn't be too much different. A couple players may be developed differently and understand their role a little bit better, but other than that, there wouldn't be too much of a difference.
Yeah, fans, I'm gonna make fun of myself here. Okay, I'm a Cubs fan. I love the Cubs. Love them. I can't understand why would a team not want Kyle Schwarber. Kyle Schwarber's great. He's awesome. I love Kyle Schwarber. He had a big hit, made me feel happy. He had that hit in the World Series that made me feel so happy, and he's a good guy, and he lost a bunch of weight, and he overcame the injury, and I like him. Okay, yeah, but now take your Cubs glasses off. He hit 230, had a back issue last year, kind of flared up a lot. Didn't look healthy at the end of the year. Why is his value down? Well, because if you don't have Cubs glasses on, you see a 230 hitter, has some pop, has some upside, but, and so fans do that with their college players especially. They wear your uniform, and you look at them and you go, man, I love them. And you should, because they're wearing your uniform. But when you take that off and you put them in a generic UPS uniform out there wearing brown jerseys and brown pants, you realize, okay, we're a little slow. We don't have depth. Probably not as athletic as we need to be. The defensive coordinator's hands are tied.
Yeah.
Am I excusing the job? I have no idea. No, no. I'm not condemning it or excusing it. I don't know. I do know that it's hard to completely judge Wesley McGriff on this particular defense. Now, are there some things that have happened that are alarming? Yeah, sure. Ryder Anderson and man-to-man coverage, bad idea.
Yeah.
But I don't know what Wesley McGriff would look like as a defensive coordinator, one way or the other. Might not be good. Might be awesome. I don't know. I don't know what he would look like if he had tools in his tool belt.
Yeah, and I think that, I mean, we're not going to talk about coaches much at all, but if he were to have somebody to assist him, you know, as like a co-defensive coordinator, and he was able to get back on the road recruiting and to kind of get back to his niche, as well as working to improve the defense and the play calling and figuring out, you know, how to stop the offenses in the SEC, I think that you would see an improvement and fans would almost have to kind of get on board.
Yeah, it's just kind of one of those things where that's a hard thing to pull off. People have egos, and, you know, he wants to be a coordinator. Does that look like a step back? Does it look like a demotion? Does it sound like a demotion? Because if it looks like a demotion and sounds like a demotion, it's a demotion.
Right.
No matter what the title is.
Yeah.
And then when you bring in the new guy, is the new guy going to acquiesce? And who's going to be the spokesperson? Because Ole Miss does a lot of media availability with coordinators.
Yeah.
Who's the guy that – and I know this doesn't sound like much. People are going, who cares? They care.
Right. I mean, I could agree with that.
McGriff cares.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know. How do you do all that? There'd be a lot that Matt would have to decide on that. And as I've said all along, fairly or not, and frankly, I'm not sure it's fair, but fairly or not, given the way that college athletics works today, Matt Luke's on the clock starting 2 weeks from Friday. He's on the clock. I don't mean that next year's make or break. It might be. I don't know. But he's going to be judged differently starting next year. No question about it.
Yeah, he'll be judged differently starting December 21st. The end of the early signing period.
Yeah, I was going to say November 23rd, but I see where you're going. Yeah. All right, JUCO offensive lineman. There's a new offer. What's going on?
Oh yes, Hina Rocky Itogi.
Yeah, I'm for Rocky. I'm for the recruitment of players named Rocky. I'm for the recruitment of players named Apollo, and players named Adonis. And I think it's appropriate that Ole Miss get involved with Rocky this particular November.
He is a
big day's coming, man.
It is.
Everybody's talking about November 22nd, like Thanksgiving, get your turkey, get your pumpkin, stuffing, the egg bowl, all that stuff. But screw all of that. It's Rocky. Creed 2 comes out that day. Rocky Balboa and Ivan Drago are going to sit down at a table and stare each other square in the eye for the first time since Rocky Balboa ended the Cold War.
I see you're pretty excited about that.
I freaking can't wait.
I think Ole Miss is probably just about as excited after watching this kid's tape. He's 6'8", well over 300 pounds.
He's large.
He is. He's currently committed to Arizona. He's a former bodyguard. He was a bodyguard for rappers and families and stuff overseas.
So Ole Miss could be trying to flip two Arizona commits in the next month.
Who's the other one?
Rocky and the Chancellor.
That is true. That is true.
And I need the monkey gif right now. I'd be on.
And with Ahina wants to play. He's got a wife and a kid, which is very unusual.
Please tell me his wife's name is Adrian. Please just tell me.
I didn't ask, but you can go with that for this hypothetical.
Oh, that's so good.
But this is his first year playing football. Robot? You said what?
Do they have a robot, Rocky and Adrian?
I don't know. They have a kid.
Yeah, does the kid have a robot? I need to know these things. You've got to start working differently. This story means more to me than the other stories. So go ahead. I'm sorry.
No problem at all. He's at Fort Scott, Kansas, and this is his first year ever playing football. He was a Division II, lower-level Division I basketball recruit in high school, decided to go with the National Guard, and then, like I said, ended up becoming a bodyguard and basically a bouncer for several wealthy families and Lil Pump, the rapper. And with that being said...
Who'd you call a Lil Punk?
Lil Pump.
Oh, Pump. I'm sorry.
And with that, Arizona, Missouri, and a couple other schools are starting to show interest in him. He's a December signee, December enrollee, and with the attrition coming on the Ole Miss commitment list, with that being said, he becomes a pretty prominent target right away.
All right, we could stay on the Rocky thing forever, but you mentioned attrition on the commitment list.
Yeah.
Fill me in.
They're going to be saying bye-bye to a couple kids from the Bayou. That's what's going to take place. Judson has been a great commitment. He visited Virginia, started showing interest in Virginia. Caleb Etienne from Warren Easton. Several of the targets that they had from the state of Louisiana and even the state of Alabama are at risk of being, I wouldn't say processed, but you know they're going to find them a soft landing. And they're still going to have to find more spots because they want to add, I think, close to 10 more commitments. And they have 25, 26 right now. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do with that.
All right. We're going to get to the following in just 1 second. I want you to catch your breath, collect yourself after talking about Rocky and Adrian. And his wife's got to be named Adrian. It's got to happen.
I'll ask him right now.
Yeah, we need to get him on the show. I have questions. I want you to think about why Ole Miss has so many top targets that are committed elsewhere, and I know that this is the start of the decommitment season, so there's things that are coming up. But first, let me tell you that you might be one of those people that you've cut out the lattes, you've put in those curly Q light bulbs, you've brown bagged your lunch to work, but it still feels like payday is getting here a day or two late and a few $100 short. Well, try this. Give State Farm agent Wally Morgan a call. Tell him you'd like a free discount double check. It's a line-by-line review of your car insurance policy to make sure you're getting the discounts you deserve, like 10% for being a good driver, another 10% if your teenage driver happens to be a good student, 17% for simply combining your car and home policies. Add all those State Farm discounts up, and it's pretty easy to see how you could be saving hundreds of dollars a year. So get started today by giving State Farm agent Wally Morgan in New Albany, Mississippi a call at 662-539-7062. Because being there to help keep more of your money in your pocket is why he's here. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Discounts may vary state to state. All right, I gave you time to think.
You did.
Time's up.
Got my spreadsheet out.
Yeah, there you go. Why does Ole Miss have so many top targets committed elsewhere? And along that line, it's decommitment season. What's going on with decommitments that will help Ole Miss and maybe decommitments that will hurt Ole Miss?
You've got several commitments currently who are beginning to see interest from other schools. The most notable one and most public one is Ohio State and Nick Broeker. Nick Broeker's from the state of Illinois. His brother played at Illinois. There was kind of some bad blood between the Broeker family and the University of Illinois. So that wasn't really an option, but the Big Ten has always been something that appeals, especially to a kid from that part of Illinois. And once Ohio State offered, things got interesting. Ohio State recently, last weekend, had a running back on campus. And what they did with him is he visited unofficially, and he wasn't able to leave. He didn't leave until after he flipped. And Ole Miss hasn't used their official visit on Broeker yet, which really, really helps them in this situation, because even if he does go to the Michigan game on Thanksgiving weekend and they do try to flip him, they still have their official visit to use in terms of that. Other new offers and decommitments and things like that are taking place are going to happen in the state of Mississippi. When you have so many of the top 10 committed to out-of-state schools such as Auburn, Alabama, LSU, schools like that, there's going to be, I don't know if they're going to get dropped, but there's still targets above several of the Mississippi kids committed to Alabama. And with that being said, that's where Ole Miss kind of tries to get back in the picture and says, hey, you know, if you want to stay in state, we've still got a spot for you. But in terms of them committing to other places early in the summer, I mean, Ole Miss was, they were in the process of building the, as they like to call it, the foundation of their class early on. And when that took place, the bigger name kids were becoming prominent targets elsewhere and ended up committing elsewhere because they were able to feel the love at those places where Ole Miss wasn't able to show them the love because they were taking the other kids at the time.
Ole Miss is recruiting a lot in the state of Texas. They play in the state of Texas this weekend, Ole Miss and Texas A&M, Saturday at 11 a.m. Who are some recruits that maybe they're going to get in touch with this week?
Yeah, they're obviously going to see Grant Tisdale, who's had a pretty good senior season. I think 22 touchdowns passing, 3 interceptions last time I looked. He's been good. I mean, he's going to be good in that offense and that system, which is pretty similar to what he would be running potentially with Phil Longo at Ole Miss. And then they're also going to see Jalen Wertemeyer from Dickinson, who visited Miami officially last weekend. Can imagine that that visit may have went well from like a visit standpoint, but from a watching the product on the field standpoint, Miami is in trouble. And with that being said, I think that becomes more of a Texas A&M Ole Miss battle with Texas A&M likely ending up on top in the end. But they're going to see him this week. They're going to see David Gabenda this week from Cinco Ranch, Texas. They're going to see these kids. And Gabenda's committed to Texas. The moment he got a committable offer from the Longhorns, he made the call to hook him. And I know you like the hook 'em sign and the penalties that come with putting them down and everything. But with Gabenda, I mean, they still want him. They still want him to visit. And they're kind of going to get a gauge on whether or not they're going to be able to do that by taking this trip. And with, like you said, with the team being in Texas, they're really not wasting much time or effort. And they're sending coaches out there who haven't really been on the road too much. But the other guys are getting a little bit of a rest because the contact period's coming up. And they're going to be on the road the day after Thanksgiving, which another topic that, I mean, I can get into right now is the fact that Ole Miss doesn't have a bowl game to prepare for, whether they win the rest of their games or lose the rest of their games. The day after Thanksgiving, they can get on the road. I mean, the day the contact period starts, they can get on the road recruiting. They can do things that a lot of these other schools that are preparing for potentially the playoff, the SEC championship game, other conference championship games, they're preparing for those games that they have those 15 practices. They're getting those freshmen the experience. Instead of Ole Miss getting those kids the experience and the reps and preparation for games, Ole Miss has the chance to maybe get back in touch with some of those in-state kids who they let falter elsewhere early on in the process. Maybe get to Florida or Georgia or some of those areas where they need to start building inroads for the class of 2020, because you're not going to be able to take not even a third of your class next year, I don't think, will be in-state. And that's going to be a problem. And being able to focus on that as well as trying your best to close strong in 2019, which they intend to do, obviously, everybody intends to do, but executing and intending are two different things.
I don't know why anybody would go to Ohio and try to get people out of there. I've never understood it.
Alabama recruits Ohio pretty heavily. It's weird.
Really?
Yeah.
Nothing ever comes out of Ohio. Just cold, flat.
It's going to snow when I'm up there next week.
Depressing place. I'm kidding. I actually like Ohio. I had a great time in Cincinnati, and I've liked Cleveland every time I've ever been. Never been to Akron. Nothing comes out of Akron. There's a couple targets in Ohio. Are those realistic?
Yeah, I would say so. I think they're a little more bullish on Trayvon Morgan than they are Jameer Thomas. They're both teammates at Maslin High School, a pretty historic program in that area.
And where's that?
Maslin? It's in Canton.
Okay.
Canton, Ohio.
Canton, Ohio, home of the Professional Hall of Fame.
That and the home of the Canton Charge. I'm surprised you don't even know what the Canton Charge are, do you?
It's a minor league baseball team.
No.
No. It's a minor league
basketball team.
Basketball team.
Yeah, it's the G League team.
Ah.
See? Ah. You learn something new every day. But with Maslin and these kids, they obviously both want Ohio State offers, but Ohio State's not coming. Ohio State's not going to offer. Ohio State's done this thing in the class of 2019 where,
I mean, they could beat up a girl. That would help. That would get them an offer. They like that at Ohio State.
they've waited so long to offer these in-state kids that even the kids they're offering now that are committed to other Power 5 schools, they're not as wooed by Ohio State, at least right now. I mean, come early signing period, something will change and Ohio State will be their dream school and they'll be, you know, crying at the ceremony as they sign with the Buckeyes. But with these two kids,
what are you implying?
Just things change. Rides fall through other places. You know how it goes. But, well, not at Ohio State. None of that happens. But Jameer Thomas is a linebacker prospect who projects to linebacker.
I would say that you were implying something untoward. But I know that you would never do that.
So I would never.
Go ahead.
Jameer Thomas is a linebacker prospect who projects as a linebacker. He's playing basically the star position at Massillon. He's playing running back. I mean, he's the program's all-time leading rusher. But he projects better at linebacker than he does at running back. He doesn't have that elite level speed. He has the speed to be a productive linebacker in the SEC, but he's not a running back in the SEC. He has several other offers. Rutgers has come in. Washington State somehow has some kind of ended Ohio State in the state of Ohio. These programs, that what they're doing is they're, you know, they see the upside. And same with Trayvon Morgan. Trayvon Morgan's picked up quite a few offers. Ole Miss really likes him at tight end. I would argue right now he's their most realistic option at tight end. And he's playing receiver right now. He's about 6'5", maybe 220. Obviously, we'd have to get bigger if you want him to be tight end. You have to put on maybe 20 more pounds. He's a really good pass blocker for somebody who exclusively plays receiver at the college level. He shows that in his tape. And I'm looking forward to seeing both of them next week, as long as they win, obviously, this week in the playoffs. But I found out recently I won't be alone. Ole Miss tight end coach Maurice Harris will also be in the Massillon area for that game.
That'll be interesting.
It'll be a blast.
Yeah. It rained a lot this week here in the Oxford area.
It did.
Rained a lot in Memphis. That was kind of the end of a drought in Memphis. I understand that it's conceivable, it's possible, that that's not the only Memphis-related drought that could be coming to an end.
Yeah, I mean, Ole Miss has so many targets remaining in that area that this could be the year that ends. I mean, you've got Bill Norton at Christian Brothers, Eric Gray at Lausanne, Maurice Hampton at MUS. I mean, one of those three will sign with Ole Miss. You can call that a prediction. You can call that whatever you'd like. But one of those three will sign with Ole Miss.
It's a Russell Johnson guarantee?
I wouldn't call it a guarantee, but it's a prediction.
Okay.
Yeah, we don't do guarantees in recruiting. I remember the first time I came on your podcast, you asked me about Sanogo, and I was like, oh, yeah, he's going to Ole Miss. And you said, guarantee? I said, no, no, no. And you were like, yeah, there's no guarantees in recruiting. And I'll never forget, I was in a conference room at my day job just sitting there talking to you guys about it, and people were looking at me like I was crazy. But from that moment on, I've learned that there is no guarantees in recruiting. Things changed the night before. A five-star receiver in Louisiana last year, Terrace Marshall, wanted so badly to play for Jimbo Fisher at A&M. And all of a sudden, come signing day, he was wearing that purple and gold.
Yeah, it happens. Just, you know, a change of heart. A change of heart.
He was sobbing that day.
Well, just tears of happiness.
Tears of joy playing in that Orgeron offense.
A football angel came down and guided him home. It's moving when it happens.
It is. But I think this is a year that ends, and Ole Miss finally gets a player from Shelby County. Doesn't happen much.
All right, last thing before we wrap it up. The Mississippi playoffs are set to begin. I can tell you that the Chargerettes have a pep rally planned. They have a new routine that's being worked on. It spells incredibly bad news for Madison Central. Madison Central comes to Oxford on Friday, and that routine is unstoppable. The Chargerettes are going to bring the spirit, and so I can just tell you, I know that you're cynical about this and you're skeptical. I've seen it in your eyes. I've heard it in your voice. Oxford's going to beat Madison Central on Friday morning, and the game's over. The game's over. The game does not even have to be played. Tell me, outside of Oxford's defeat of Madison Central, the one that will occur around 10:15 on Friday morning, tell me what else to look for in week one of the Mississippi High School playoffs.
You've got, well, there's going to be quite a few references to smoke at that pep rally, I'm sure.
It could happen.
Oxford wants all the smoke.
Madison Central, I'll be curious to see whether Madison Central does or does not want the smoke.
It'll be interesting to see. Madison Central, they have their own little version of the Grove. It's really interesting out there.
Yeah, well, they're not going to play in Madison.
No.
They got to come to Oxford. And when teams walk into Oxford, Oxford closes the doors, locks them, and that's that. And you die from smoke.
There you go. That's kind of like the Alabama player quote tweeted that all the hype about LSU and said, you know, none of that matters. None of the hype matters once you close the gates and the game starts.
A lot of truth to that.
Yeah.
Unless there's smoke.
Yeah. Well, then things change. But in terms of the state playoffs, Tupelo's had a really disappointing year. They've struggled with injury. And with that, you know, they're matched up with Northwest Rankin in week one. And I think that's a really bad matchup for Tupelo. And I could see Northwest Rankin getting some of their younger players some reps in the third and fourth quarters of that game.
Tupelo will not recover from last week's pep rally.
No. See? No chance at all. And then South Panola, who finished the year 7-5, they're heading to Starkville, which is going to be a really tough matchup. And Starkville's going to be
really good.
Yeah. Starkville's really good.
I saw them earlier in the year. They overcame a pep rally.
Yes.
In a way that the pep rally did not even appear to affect them at all. The Chargerettes brought spirit that night, and it just didn't even faze them.
It didn't. Did it faze Horn Lake?
It did faze Horn Lake. It rattled Horn Lake. Horn Lake staggered. The Chargerettes did not knock Horn Lake out, but they staggered them. The football team could not finish the deal.
Yeah, I mean,
the Chargerettes did their part. They completely befuddled and befuzzled Horn Lake. They were totally off their game.
Horn Lake's gotten a bit lucky. Warren Central comes into their matchup at Horn Lake on Friday, 5-5. But they're dealing with some off-the-field stuff. One of their coaches found out, I believe, earlier this week or late last week that a family member has been diagnosed with cancer, and there's quite a bit of support and rallying around the Warren Centrals of the world. So it'll be interesting. Horn Lake's going to have to play one of their best games of the season if they're going to advance. And all of the hype around Horn Lake, all of the being 11-0, going undefeated in the regular season, you know, beating everybody as badly as they did outside of a couple teams, none of that matters anymore. And for head coach Brad Boyette, if he wants to take that next step as a program and potentially with his job on the line, Horn Lake's going to have to win these kind of games.
Well, we'll look forward to it. Visit next week. We'll catch up. We'll talk about the Oxford High School pep rally. We'll talk about the Chargerettes. Did you see the Chargerettes' last routine when they did the glow-in-the-dark stuff with the gloves? And I put it up on Twitter.
I did. I told you they wanted all the smoke.
That was unbelievable. That was dominant. It's as dominant a dance as you will ever see.
They were good.
Oh, they're phenomenal. The best dancing team in the history of dance.
Now that is saying something.
Damn right it is. All right. Don't forget, go to deadsoxy.com. Enter promo code RebelGrove. You can put a space in it if it makes you happy. You can go spaceless. Check out. You'll get 25% off your order. It's a money-back, 100% risk-free guarantee. Check out their site. Look at their offerings for men, for women. They have an inventory of no-show socks as well. I think you'll love the product. Really do. So check those out at deadsoxy.com. Appreciate Dead Soxy for sponsoring this podcast. Happy to have it back. You guys, don't forget, we're doing this podcast because we have a sponsor again. So support the sponsor. Give them a chance. Really would appreciate it. Go to their site. Order a pair of socks. Just try one. I mean, you should try more than one, but try one. I think you'll love it. It's no risk at all. If you don't like it, tell them. They'll send you your money back. They really will. And you can keep the socks. I think you'll love them and you'll want more socks. So give it a shot. We would appreciate it. That does it for this edition of the Soft Verbal Podcast presented by Dead Soxy. I'm Neil McCready. That's Russell Johnson. We're out. We'll talk to you next week. Take care.